Chapter 4, Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside. So if you've got your label in, if you're going through the Gospel of Mark here, you're just tuning in, he is going to preach, and when he preaches, he is preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is now. It's at hand. It's right here. Mark 1:15, to repent. He's preaching the gospel, the good news. And now he's going to be teaching, and there'll be another word that you'll be introduced to here is doctrine. It says his doctrine, as he's introducing his doctrine. That is his teaching. A preaching is a statement. A preaching is a proclamation. A preaching is of telling that message that you have. But teaching is what is going to anchor that. Teaching is what is going to solidify it. Teaching is what is going to give you the instruction and the pie charts and the graphs and everything how it came about. So he is going to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but he is going to teach what repentance is. He is going to teach what it is to be obedient. He is going to teach and instruct. And that's that word doctrine, which means teaching. So he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so they entered into a ship. And he sat in it in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the line. So on the land. So you're going to see there's a multitude, and quite possibly in that multitude there's a lot of believers, or there's followers, or there's disciples. We already know that he has made 12 to be his apostles. They are his disciples, but there are also apostles, and he had that in the last chapter. But there's going to be a multitude that he's teaching, and there's always a crowd around. So think of it with his apostles, his disciples right there. Then there's the multitude of people around who are earnestly pressing in to hear him. And then there's also that crowd that's going to be following him around as well. And why does he have to go to this little ship? Why does he have to go out into the water a little bit? And then, because people are hard pressed. We know from the other gospel accounts, the crowds are coming, and what are they doing? They're trying to touch him for a healing. They're trying to get something from him. And again, they're crowding around and they're missing the message. And understand, if you're taking notes, are you missing the message? And when we're preaching, sometimes people miss the message because they don't understand what the preaching is about the salvation, about repentance, about owning your own sin, asking God to forgive you, and coming to salvation. And then that teaching is going to go on because, look, God will spontaneously save a person. Salvation, boom, right there. But it's going to be a lifetime of walking in obedience and learning what that is all about. And so here he began to teach them by the sea, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship, and he sat there in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land, and he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine. King James, folks. In his teaching, in his doctrine. This is going to be established right here. Now, something we know from the other gospel accounts here is why. He is not trying to hide something from anybody. He is using an illustration. He's using the stories to illustrate that point, and that's how he is solidifying a lot when it comes to his teaching. However, there's just some people who just aren't going to get it. They're just not going to get it. And that they're not going to get that spiritual truth. They're not going to get that thing that Jesus is trying to get across to them. And he's going to explain this to his disciples because he says, look, this has already been given to you. So again, try to grasp what's going on here. And then Jesus is going to give us the context of what these things mean. He says here, and he taught them again, then in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Now this word hearken means listen up. Are you listening? It'd be the equivalent of me saying, eyeballs. There you go. All right, you're getting your attention. You got that? Getting your attention. Hearken. Are you going to hear? And he's going to rephrase this as well. He's going to be using that about, are you listening? Listen to this. And it came to pass, as he sowed some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. So he's going out. Sower's going out to sow some seed. And here's some things that'll never change. I like these words. They're never going to change. They're never going to be recontextualized. I mean, you can go all over the world and you can see and understand that you understand sowing seeds, the planting, the farming, these things are going on here. So hearken, behold, there went out a sower, that's a person, sowing to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on the stony ground where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of the earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among the thorns, And the thorns grew up and choked it out, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he that hath ears to hear, let them hear. So did you hear that? He who has ears. There's something, there is a truth that Jesus is now, again, he is not preaching, he's teaching, he's giving instruction, and he's using by way of parables, and they're giving this truth. And they're using, now look, we're from an urban society right here. Not many farmers in our midst there, but we understand maybe planting. Maybe, again, when I leave or my wife leaves town, she has to have someone come over and water the plants in our apartment because I didn't know we had plants. And they're going to die. And that's what's going to happen. And so these are the only thing I ever, and I'm not going to give you the analogy on how to do that, but the only thing I ever grew was pot. So I understand seed and sowing and sprouting and these things and having root and depth. And some of you are tracking that with me. But Jesus isn't talking about hydroponic lamps here. He's not talking about drip irrigation. He's just using some common things. And they all get this. And they go, yeah, we get that. Birds come, you know, that's the way the sowing. It isn't like agriculture. It isn't like farming today, and they're planting those things and putting those seeds down deep. You just threw them out there. What sprouted up? And so the birds are coming. And look what he says here. And he said to them, he that hath an ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 10, and when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him this parable. So it's not just the 12. You're saying there's a multitude, there's a crowd, but there's a multitude, there's the disciples, there's the apostles of the disciples, there's plenty of people around. And so here, they begin to ask him here of this parable. And he said to them, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. That seeing, they may see and not perceive, and hearing, they may hear and yet not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Now again, he's not saying he's trying to keep that from them, but look, those who are going to come to Christ are going to come to Christ. I don't know if you've ever seen it. I've had the experience. We just knew in second grade that kid was going to go pro. There's just that kid who played Little League Baseball, and he's Paul Molitor, and he's in the pro. I mean, everyone that you talked about in his life, there was just some natural athletic ability about him that he excelled upon everybody else. You could tell in my former life that being an unlicensed pharmaceutical rep that I was going to make a lot of money. I just had a certain gifting and a talent, all right? Some people it's sports, some people it's not, all right? I'm the not. There's just certain things that you can tell intuitively. You can tell in the natural eye. There's just something about that person. They have that gifting and that ability to do whatever it is. It would be a great propensity for evil or not. So here's the thing is that he's using these things. You know these things. Well, why are you using the whole farmer and the whole sowing of the seed thing? He's not trying to keep it away from anybody. Those are going to get it. Look. Here in Calvary Chapel, ministry is caught, it's not taught. If you don't understand that, I can never teach it to you. But if you catch it, it's yours. Okay? It's yours. Ministry is caught, it's not taught. There'll be information or emails put out there for ministry opportunities and stuff like that, but you're never going to see. I've been visiting other churches and stuff. You're never going to see. You know, I don't know one church, no matter what its size, does not have more need for teachers, aides, and ability in those things. I don't know what church, what size, mega thousands church or church our size, whatever, that doesn't need a nursery ministry or servants and things like that. But the thing that we're not, it's obvious. It's obvious that those things are needed. I can tell you one thing, we've only in this life of this church have probably gone without coffee maybe 2 or 3 weeks total. Because as soon as there's not coffee there, all of a sudden, I'll volunteer. I'll make the coffee. I got to have the coffee. I mean, that one's there. So, and every joke is a little bit of truth. But that's a lot of truth. That's joking. But understand that. So there's just things that are just obvious. A man walks into a church with a gun, with a rifle. Are you really going to stand at the door and go, hey, what are you here for? Do you understand there's Someone meets you on the street with a knife and says, "Hey, you got the time?" Someone comes up to you and says, "Hey, man, you got what time?" There's certain verbals that aren't matching the body language there. That's the same thing that's going on here with this, folks, when it comes to the parables. You're going to get this or you're not. And so there, he said unto them, "Know ye not this parable? And know ye well that ye know the parables?" That's the same thing. You know this. I don't know. You know the meaning. The sower soweth the word. So Jesus has given us context about this. The sower is doing what? He's sowing the word. You know what? That's going to be the way all the way through the Bible. We see that in the Old Testament, and we see that here in the New Testament. This is nothing new to them. The sower soweth the word, and these that are by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Who did that? The birds. You are going to see Old Testament and New Testament all the way through the book of Revelation that birds are going to be related or going to be used in context as an evil thing. Remember that. Birds, evil. All right? That's the whole thing. And this isn't a new context. This isn't a new thing that Jesus came up with. You can go all the way back to Joseph being there in the prison and the dreams that he interpreted, and it came to the whole thing with the birds. Read that on your own another time. But it says here that they come and they swoop and they take away. We know that. Let's just go down to Wabasha Street. Let's go by Old Seventh Place. Let's go to Candyland. Let's go get some Chicago mix. More caramel than cheese, right? And I don't know why they put the other popcorn in, but I just want this mix. And you eat a little. And the crumbs at the end, just throw them out. And God's city eagles will come and swoop those things up. Won't they not? In some countries, they eat them as squab. But you know the city eagles I'm talking about. They will come and they will swoop and take that away. That's all Jesus is saying here. The word is given out. It's given out. And what comes right away and swoops and takes it away? They hear it. But Satan immediately comes, and that's the whole thing that he's given here with the birds here. They're like, "Yeah, okay, I get that. I'm tracking. It tells us here that it'll never be root in their heart. And understand this, verse 16. "And these are they that likewise which are sown on the stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution ariseth, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended." So again, you can see that around Israel. You can see that around maybe some of the rooftops. Do you see anyone growing plants on top of the roofs? You know, things fall off a tree, they fall onto a roof, they get embedded there in the shingles, and next thing you know, you're growing a tree on top of your roof and you didn't know you had a rooftop garden. That was plenty of the houses I've lived in. You understand the whole thing with the rocks? There's no depth there. It's not going to live long. It's not going to live long. There's no depth, there's no root, and the same thing in the land. Been to Israel with us. I mean, the other countries got the oil, they got the rocks. Understand that, is that you can throw the seed out there, and there'll be water, there'll be indentations. The seed goes in there, it sprouts up because it has some moisture, but then what happens? The sun comes out. What does Jesus call the sun? He calls that the persecution. He calls that the thing that just comes out and it scorches them. And because there's no depth and there's no root to them whatsoever, there's nothing for them to hold on to. They're not anchored deep at all. And so they immediately, so there's that word right there in verse 17. You see that constantly, immediately, 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 it withers away. And that's what you see. Have you ever shared your faith with somebody? Someone says maybe has prayed to receive Jesus Christ. They go, "This is great." And then they got fired, lost their job, something happened. They got a little burnt. And then all of a sudden, "It isn't fun being a Christian. I didn't have this problem until I became a Christian." Well, I can say that's true of my testimony. I was this way. I never suffered persecution. I never suffered temptation until I became a Christian. Because I just did whatever I wanted. And then when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you start to struggle with some things, then there's temptation, there's those things. But then you can be, and look at the word there, offended. Offended. I am offended. I cannot believe you said that. I am offended. I've sent you the emails. I keep harassing you with emails of love, right? And maybe you got one today. If you didn't get the email I sent out today, email me back and we'll get you on that. But just just reading through the Psalms, and God putting some things upon my heart, and some things are going on, and people calling and asking questions this week and emailing, and I'm like, I've got the answer. It's right here. I'm glad you didn't ask me last week because I was in Proverbs. The week before, Ecclesiastes, forget it. Don't talk to me in about a week or two. And just go right through. Here's God's word. Here's the answer. Here's those things. And yet we see that. And again, some people take offense to that. Taking offense weeks ago saying, hey, look, let's not be discouraged about, you know, the same-sex marriage. I got passed here in the state of Minnesota. I told you it was coming. Shouldn't be a shock and a surprise to you. But now this is going to be an opportunity for us to share the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ and the truth. Those are the things. Someone emails back. Take me off your email list. I don't believe God hates gays. I email them back. The problem is they have to hear my voice because sarcasm doesn't come across. But made sure I used no sarcasm and said, I never used the word hate. I don't believe God hates homosexuals either. He hates their sin, just like he hates, and I listed my sins, and tax cheats, and candy bar thieves, and liars. And he hates the sin, but he doesn't hate the sinner. And I used the word love 5 times. Hate, zero. How can you see that? Listen with their own filters and their own perceptions and take me off? And I go, I was trying to encourage people. That was an encouraging thing. So here's the thing. I'm offended. There's no depth. That's the whole thing. How do you find out when you have no depth? How often are you offended? You're offended. Just that just, that's it. I'm out of here. I'm done with here. No more of this. It's the constant, a constant thing that flows out of your mouth. That you're always out of here, wherever it is. And you're always tired of it. Have no idea what it is, but it is here, and you're tired of it, and you're offended, and you want to go. If those are the words that naturally come out of your mouth, well, Jesus already tells us from the mouth flows the issues of the heart. You say those things. And so here immediately it's withered away because it has no depth and it has no root. But here, verse 19, or verse 18, and these are they that which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Do you understand that? You're talking to people who know about farming. So even if you're not a farmer, you've grown something, something's happened there, you have to pull the weeds out or whatever. Even everyone living in that city, even though they weren't maybe outside the gates or whatever farming, but inside, everyone has their own herb garden. Jesus already talked about it. You have your mint, your rue, your herbs. You have all those things. You have your little gardens. You do those things. You guys might have some chia pets, whatever. You have them. You know what it is to take the weeds out and to do those things. It chokes it out. And so here, he's just taking some common things, and they're going, yeah, I get that. I get that's exactly what happens. But now Jesus is making the application. The seed is the word of God. He's talking about the sun scorching, that's the persecution. He's talking about the birds here, that's Satan. You just whoop, come and swoop it away. I have been sharing my faith with people, and I'm talking to somebody, and their friend comes up, and I go, oh, here comes the birds. They're like, what? Birds. Comes the birds. Like, what? Yeah, I said, your friend's coming over, and they're going to do everything they can to get you out of this conversation. No way. No, they're going to come over. There's going to be some emergency. Something's going to happen. I can see it coming, so I got to tell you this real quick. Here they come. Hey, man, we got to go. Why? Because we do. There's something really important. What? It's important. And then I look at him and says, do you realize you're being used of the devil? Because this person needs to know about Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and you're being used of the devil. And that person's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And the friend's just going, this is trippy. This is weird. And then this person just gets all crazy on you. I've had a person just bug-eyed out, screaming, yeah! And I said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that. And they stop. And the person I'm sharing Christ with is like, oh, man. And the person I'm sharing Christ with looks at their friend. Their friend's like, hey, what just happened? I said, I'm telling you. You see, if you get salvation, if you receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord right now, that's going to mess up your friends, man. You know, and they're like, well, look what's happening. The birds of the air are kind of come. They're not even letting it take root. It's just coming. But you might get salvation. You might receive Jesus Christ, but is it going to sprout out? Are you going to be excited about it? Because persecution's going to come. But then it comes down to this. But here's where the majority of Christians lie. And then he cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of the other things entering in choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and then some 100-fold. Underline this, because you're going to see when it comes to the parable of the talents, he starts at 100, goes down to 60, goes down to 30. When you're bearing fruit, it's increasing. When you're dying on the vine, you're decreasing. So here, right here, he starts off with some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. I'm just giving you, preparing you for a study later, but read that. But when it comes to our talents and our responsibilities, and he gives the talents, and the king goes away, and he comes back and gives an account, what happens? They get less and less and less. But when it comes to bearing fruit, now, that seems like a good application. Now look how Jesus brings it all the way home. It's obvious here. On the good soil, you're going to get, it's just going to produce. Verse 21, and he said unto them, it is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was there anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. You guys understand, this verse right here is a verse that also helped set me free some 32 years ago. As Christians of maturity who shared with me, as I shared last week about this Thursday about Proverbs, this last Sunday about Proverbs and how it's meant in my life, another Christian says, look, why don't you just go for it now? This is a mature Christian who wasted a lot of years. He says, why don't you just be open, honest, and transparent now? Don't hide. No, let me tell you about my life. And he told me about his life. Just start right now, because you know what? It's all going to be found out. Your sin will find you out. It takes me all the way back to Cain and Abel. You know, sin is crouching at your door. And he says, you know, take all these things. And then look, it says some men's sins go before them, which are obvious to all. Some men's sins come after them. But either way, it's made evident. And how this was best illustrated to me in a spiritual thing was through a common gardener's thing. Me and some friends were together, and we're learning this principle, and we're learning this thing about being open, honest, and transparent. And we've just been arguing all day long. A bunch of singles just arguing all day long, complaining that we're not married. And just arguing all day long. We're just hanging out at another friend's house, a married couple's house, and they're trying to minister to us. They're trying to teach about us being open, honest, and transparent. And then we'd start to argue, and then we'd be, oh, everything's cool. We're lying. We're just tired of being arguing. You want to take a food break or something? And then we started arguing about something. Something just started stirring us up. We're just all irritable. And one brother is teaching me about being open, honest, and transparent. He goes, Chick, come here. I go, what? He just goes, come here, check it out. I leave the arguing. Everyone's still in the other room arguing. He says, check this out. And we just stood at the front door, Southern California. Front door's open, no screen door, and there's a garden stake. The louder they get arguing, the garden stake comes to the threshold of the door and just kind of pops its head in. When they stop arguing, it pops its head out and it just starts circling around the front stoop. I'm like, no way. Let me test this out. Hey, morons! Ah! And I did that. And I saw the snake try to come in. I go, hey man, I'm sorry. And I watched the snake go out. I'm like, no, okay. You're pulling it on a string or whatever. And I watch this, but this is 20 minutes because I'm just that thick. And so for 20 minutes, watching the snake go in and out of the threshold, and the brother just shares with him and says, sin is crouching at your door. Don't you know if this continues on, it's just going to come right in. And this is how this deceitfulness is. And he began to minister to me. He says, why don't you just be open, honest, and transparent? Why don't you just go and set everybody free, tell them what's going on? I really am the one who started everything anyways. Just be open, honest, and transparent. And just be that way for the rest of your life. It's going to get found out anyways. How's that? Well, the Holy Spirit's going to tell somebody, and you're going to get fried that way. And you're eventually going to be so guilt-ridden, you're going to confess it. And you waste it. Just get it all out now. Huh. Simply because of watching a snake coming in and out of a door. And this literally what happened, folks. I went in, apologized to everyone. I got everyone fighting, because that's my mentality. Get everyone fighting against each other, and they won't be thinking about me. But it was all my fault anyways. Like, what? What's that? Hey, just forgive me. Literally stood at the door and watched the snake turn around, go down the sidewalk, and go off into the grass. Now, you take that for whatever you want. For me, that's a Holy Ghost story. For me, God was just sharing something with me. Some of you, you're so easy and get ministered to by a bumper sticker. Me, I need a snake. All right, I need something coming in the house. And I'm just watching this going over and over again. Everything's going to be made known anyways. If you let your private life be your public life, there's no more private life. And so here, it's a scary proposition, especially if you haven't been doing it. I'm just one of those Christians that I'm very, very grateful that early in my walk, I got surrounded. I did not want to surround myself with other people just like me who just got saved. I started looking around. I wanted other mature believers. How did I do that? I got around more experienced, unlicensed pharmaceutical reps in my family and in my... How did you make so much money? How did you do so much things? I just knew I got to go to... I can't go to this guy. Sitting in jail, the one thing that I learned is the guy next to me, don't use his lawyer. I learned something. I'm going to find how do you stay out of jail? So how is it that if I was an evangelist for Satan, and I was a good one, I was a good rep all the way, AC/DC, our band, all the way there, how much more so am I supposed to be that for the truth? And that's where the fire burns in. So I'm like, look, I'm just going to be open, honest, and transparent. Because I surrounded myself with people who had a committed, submitted walk with the Lord. Their wives, their kids, everything about it showed me that they believe and they read the Bible. You see, I could tell that. I could tell that just as a brand new believer coming into a church and just saying, oh, that guy's real, that one's legit, that one's fake, that one's this, that one's that. Yeah. And you know, here's the thing, folks. So can everyone else. I was just a street kid who had some profiling skills, who used to use it for my advantage to rip you off, and now I could just look at it and go, no, that person's real. That person's going to help me. That person's going to be there for me. That's what I want to be like. And so here, for there is nothing, verse 22, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but it shall all come abroad. Look at verse 23. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Goes for you sisters. That means mankind right there, but brothers and sisters. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear and what you measure, ye might. He tells us here that it shall be measured to you, and unto you, you shall hear, shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Again, we know this from the other gospel accounts. If you're faithful with the little things, you'll be faithful with the greater things. But if you're not faithful with the little things, now let me give that away, and I'm going to give it to the person who's more faithful with the greater things here. So be careful how you hear. Be careful what goes in. Garbage in, garbage out. Be careful what goes in. You know, I shared this Sunday. I said, you know, there's certain words that people are just saying. Just saying. They're trying to use a euphemism, or they're trying to say a certain thing. And I'm just like, look, just do it yourself. Type it in and Google it and find out what that word means. But if before you type it, you're like, I don't think I should type that out because I'm afraid what's going to pop up on my screen. And well, then why say it at church? Why say it to your kids? Why say it to your brothers and sisters? Why explain it? Look at the terms that we're using and we do stuff. And I'm still constantly going through a Rolodex of words that I'm still trying to take out that I think is wrong. But there's certain colloquialisms, there's certain things, that stuff. I no longer stop at a liquor store. I learned that one the hard way here years ago. Moving from California to here, and after church, I asked some people, and they never said anything. I said, stop by a liquor store. I said, hey, stop over here. I see a liquor store. Stop in. I need to get something. And they did. I'm the pastor of the church. And they stop in. I walk in. I'm looking around. I'm looking for bread, bologna, some mayonnaise, bag of chips. You see, where I came from in California, liquor store was a Super America. That's all, and we just called it all liquor store. I never thought that it was liquor. We just said a liquor store. I never thought of getting liquor there. Well, after I became a Christian. But you could get other things there. I move here. Liquor store. You know what a liquor store here is in Minnesota? Liquor store. Yeah, there you go. And they never said anything. And I said, hey, man, where's the nuts? Where's the peanuts? Where's the bread? Where's the bologna? Where's all the stuff? And they're like, this is a liquor store. I know! Well, you got to go next door to Tom Thumb. Who's he? I'm just learning these things. And no, well, you got to go to SA. Who's he? I got to see an essay about what? So I'm learning some things. I'm learning Super America, folks. All right, some of the essays get in here. But understand that is that I go, okay, I got to stop saying liquor store. Stop by the liquor store. I would say it in messages. I'm glad those tapes aren't around. I said, I stopped by the liquor store the other day. What did he do? Okay, Super America, convenience store. So these are the things that if you start to say these words, they're, what does that mean? So I've been challenging people lately when they say, well, what does that mean? Because I can tell you the word picture that's in my head right now when you use that word. Is that what you really do? When you're saying this is a bad thing, are you saying that's the act that you're performing, that you're doing, that means that? Because I understand that probably would be a bad thing, but is that what you... And see, I didn't even tell you a word, but it's already going on in your head. Think of the words that we're using. And again, if something really is bad, use a biblical word. It stinketh. Ecclesiastes 10:1. It stinks. It stinks. You know, I don't like that. Well, it really stinks. Think of all the other words you could use, and euphemisms that are being used. But stink? What does stink mean? Woo! That's stink. We all know that's foul enough, is it not? And so here, he says, whatever you measure it with, whatever you are measuring with, whatever your judgment, it's going to be measured right back to you. But understand this, verse 26, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise at night, and rise at night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. Verse 29, but when the fruit is brought forth, immediately it putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. I don't understand how, but see, that's the thing about fruit. That's the thing about bearing fruit. It's just going to bear fruit. If there's no root, you're not going to bear fruit. And if you are bearing fruit, you should be bearing fruit some 30, some 60, some hundredfold, and it just does. It just is. I know an apple tree is an apple tree because there's apples on it. There's good fruit, there's bad fruit. And a tree that does not produce good fruit, Jesus already tells us, is to be what? Cut down and thrown in the fire. So listen, if you're taking notes, the identifying mark of something that is fruitful is it produces fruit. Revolutionary, isn't it? It's amazing. I come to church and I get a horticultural experience. This is amazing. But that's all Jesus is solidifying. So again, you can look at the parable of what it means, but look what Jesus is doing here with this example and with this parable. He's bringing it even deeper, to use a pun. Taking it even, says, look, you know not how it does. It just grows. You plant it in the right soil, it's just going to grow. It's just going to grow. It just what it does. So what do you need to do? Well, we know from the other gospel accounts, what is the soil? The heart. Jesus already tells us that. The seed is sown, and immediately springs up in the heart, or it's on the wayside, and the birds of the air, they come and they what? They snatch it away. That heart has got to be a good soil, and if that soil is good in you and our lives, what's going to happen? Now, the other thing is that with the talents and abilities that God has gifted me with, if I don't use them for His glory, what happens? It goes from 100 to 60 to 30. And you get below that, He might just take it away and give it to somebody else who's going 30, it's going 60, it's going 100. You just do the numbers, all right? 90% of this is mental. The other half is just intuitive. You do it and you work it out in your life and you can see these things. So he doesn't know how it grows. Verse 28. So the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, and then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth it in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Verse 30. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? Verse 31, it is like a grain of mustard seed, which is, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. It's the smallest seed of all. I've seen this when I've gone to Israel. It's the smallest, tiniest possible seed that there is. But look at this. It's less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. We already know birds are evil. There's something abnormal, because there is no such thing as a mustard tree. There's not even so much as a mustard bush. It's a shrub. It's a shrub. So there's something. That's the whole thing, as you understand this and you see something about mustard seed. Like you said, the only thing I ever grew was pot. And so I just started studying this one day. I'm like, hey man, a mustard seed tree, it's just like, it doesn't, it's not this big, tall thing, whatever. So there's something abnormal about that. When this abnormality comes in, what's going to happen? The birds of the air are going to come in. Haven't the birds of the air come into the church? It's an email I sent out today. Hasn't the compromise, hasn't those things come in? Hasn't now we're seeing that it's being forced upon? I got an email from a guy says, hey, my beloved Boy Scouts, I was an Eagle Scout. I don't know what to do. Parents like, what do I do with my children? This was a private organization, by the way. It wasn't a government-sponsored anything. And now we're going to accept this, and now we're and that's all the organizations that are that need to recruit, all the homosexuals who need to recruit, they need to get in these organizations. Because they can't procreate, they can only recruit. And it's a concerted effort, but yet the majority of the public is out there like, no, no. Have you ever met a benevolent pedophile? A conscientious molester? I mean, that's not what they go to jail for. And you start to look at the facts and do the numbers and those things, and so the heart's grieving. So I'm telling you, I'm getting up, I'm reading through the Psalms this week. I don't know about you, man, but I cranked out 150 Psalms, and man, I'm just constantly in it and listening, and not only that, listening to other teachings and just going through it, and I'm just like, wow, I am not bummed. I'm going to be with Jesus someday and take as many people with me as I can. And so it tells us here that, look, these things can come in, and that could be the kingdom of God. That could be the compromise that comes in, and all that liberalism, and all that not taking God at His word, and the birds of the air can come, and they can roost in it. It's okay to be that remnant that truly believes the Word of God. Look at verse 32. But when it is full grown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs and shooteth out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake the Word unto them as they were able to hear it. You might not be able to hear that tonight. You listening in online, listen to this message. I don't know when it's going to show up, but just listening, you might not be able to hear it right now. And those things are coming, and the things are in the body of Christ right now, and I just shudder to think of if God tarries another 20, 30 years and someone's listening to a tapes of me later or CDs or online, wherever they are, and talking about that's the way the condition is. Oh, that's just so far gone. That's just so far gone. I mean, we're so far past that right now. But we need to have a steady diet of God's Word. And that Word that needs to be sown in our hearts. And then the earmark is what? It just produces fruit. It just produces fruit, folks. That's just what it does. So if we're not producing fruit, then you can go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Because what am I, again, it's not what I'm doing that gets me into trouble. It's what I don't do that allows me to get into trouble. And if I'm going to be unfruitful, unproductive, unfruitful all the way, then I'm looking at the various things in my life. Do your own spiritual checklist. Do your own things that you're in life. And so here, verse 34, but without a parable spake he unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day he was given, the evening was come, and he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with them other little ships. So a little armada is going across the little Sea of Galilee here. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, and so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and they say to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Underline that. Is that how sometimes we come to the Lord in prayer? Well, I have. But he comes to them and says, look, and he rose and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Well, you're thinking, that could be kind of harsh. I mean, they're experienced seamen. All these things are coming down. These things are happening. They have boats filling up. All these things. And how are they supposed to know, I mean, that Jesus could do those things? Go back to this other verse, folks. Back in verse 35. Let us pass over into the other side. That's just a promise. Jesus is Jesus says, we're going over to the other side. He didn't say, let's go over to the other side of and drown. Jesus said, we're going over to the other side. See, he said, well, how can that be? Well, Jesus said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And some people question that. Some people think that they blasphemed the Holy Spirit because maybe they used an inappropriate word or something like that. They question the salvation that they have. Or maybe they question the promise that God maybe gave them at one time, and that they're holding on to that, or they're not, and they got a question. Was it God, Satan, or the flesh? You got to be open, honest, and transparent about it. I've had people said, you know, one time, and they said, well, this and this and this happened, and I believe God said this, and years later, I'm like, you know what? This hasn't happened. And actually, it turned out a whole lot differently. What do you say about that now? They go, well, I think that was probably my flesh. I really wanted it to be of the Lord, but I can tell now. Okay, well, you're here now. If you discover your gifts and your callings now, you're going to be that much more fruitful. What has God spoken to you about? Now, here's the thing about me. I believe God has brought me back to the Midwest to see a revival. I wanted to participate. I got saved at the tail end of the Jesus movement in 1982. And I've seen, which some people have never ever seen here. Might be a couple of people in here. But it never really took root. It never really took root in the Midwest. Oh, there were some Jesus people things. There were some Shiloh. There were some things that people might have taken a photograph of something that was happening with the Holy Spirit out on the West Coast or in the East Coast. And again, let's reproduce this. But there was no depth. That's the thing. I'm a student of history. I look at the Jesus people movement of the 70s and that happened in the 80s. And I see something here in the Midwest. There was no depth. There was no accountability. There was a lot of free agents and a lot of independents who did all their own little things, and it all got shipwrecked. Pastor after pastor, or guy after guy who became the pastor because maybe he could teach the Bible or do something. And I've just gone through the history over and over and over again. And the supposed leaders of the Jesus people here in the Midwest, and virtually just about every one of them have fallen. Their marriages are gone. They're shipwrecked. And what happened? The deceitfulness of this world and the lust of the flesh. Watched one guy based up here, and they had ministries here in the cities, they up in Duluth, and they had it in pretty much all the other big cities where we're even planting churches. Saw the airplanes come in, I saw the things and the mode of transportation, then they were being carted around the world. Well, come speak to us. And they were just, there was no depth and no root. And then what happened was, is there's a lot of orphans. I meet a lot of orphans who sincerely got saved, grew up in the Lord, did some things, and then they just blew and fell away because of the cares and the deceitfulness and choked out the word maybe of their leaders. But here's the thing, when it goes back to, a lot of their leaders had no depth. I have a legacy. Again, I'm just one of those rare Christians, and I'm not bragging or boasting. I'm thankful, and I would that everyone here would have what I have. That I'm accountability. You know, there was no such thing as accountability when I became a Christian. You just were. We didn't talk about accountability. Are you accountable? Are you? No, I'm not accountable. I don't eat people. I don't. Are you accountable? Are you? You know, you got to do this. And again, I was one of those people who never once, ever once participated in the Promise Keepers, because it was just going to come and go. And then you look at the leaders of the Promise Keepers, gone. Covenant keepers, promise keepers, these keepers, that things, stuff like that. Then this whole thing about the manhood of men, and we got to be this men, and they're all sitting around and start beating a drum or passing a feather and doing these things and making it Christian, and we got to have a big men's movement here. You know what I found about being a man? I just hung around men. Men who believe God's word. What the Bible says about being a man, and they did that. I didn't know anything about accountability. I didn't know what else. I wanted to be accountable. I didn't know anything about discipleship. I just wanted to be discipled. I wanted to be around, again, as the Bible says, older men teach the younger men, older women teach the younger women, and it just keeps repeating the cycle. And I was taught very early on, there are no grandchildren in the kingdom of God, just spiritual moms and dads. So you can do your own history. Maybe you're new to this. You can Google it. You can look along. You can look at the Jesus movement. There's all types of things that are happening here about the Midwest, but it never, ever took root. I've always wanted to come back to Minnesota. Best friends back here. Always wanted to be here. I said, man, I've seen it happen on the East Coast. I've seen it happen on the West Coast. It's never, ever really happened in my lifetime here in the Midwest. Oh, I read about Finney and Whitehead. I read about Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards, a Puritan, coming through. I heard about whole towns. Whole towns getting saved where the cops have to lay off people, the bars closed, things like that. Because there was the whole thing that it just changed. And so there's those things that just go on. That's what I want to see. I want to see revival again, and I believe it's going to happen in my lifetime. So I don't think I'm going to crash in a plane. I'm not going to be reckless about it. I know I could be living until I see that time and I could be maimed in a plane. I understand this. This is how conscious I am about my own life. God will keep me alive, and I might see that revival that goes on here from my hospital bed, missing all limbs. I don't want to be that way. So I take care of myself. I'm trying to do some things. I'm trying to, because I want to see that, because I believe God is going to pour. But here's the thing, as a student of history, folks, we got to pray. No revival. Just listen to the revival up at Saskatoon, 1971. The revival of 1971 in Saskatoon. It started years before. People getting together and just praying and preparing. If God was to add to our number daily those being saved, who here would disciple them? Don't raise any hands. So my thought is, and my understanding is, why would God bring and add and try to give us a few hundred more people here who just got saved if no one's going to get out of themselves and disciple them? That's a Holy Spirit thing. Some of you are going to get it. Others you just won't. Will we step out of ourselves and disciple those who God will add to our number daily, those being saved? Because you know what? Someone's preached to them. Some of you are great preachers. But you haven't a lick of responsibility of discipleship and teaching and rooting and grounding in God's Word. And look at the majority of what Jesus Christ did. He sent His preachers out. They prepared the way. And then what did He do? He came in and He taught them. Simply teaching the Word of God simply. Because I've been a Christian for 32 years, and if all I ever heard was a salvation message, I probably wouldn't be walking here today. I wouldn't be standing before you today, but because someone taught me, because someone lived out the Bible, someone showed me these things, and because I chose 32, almost 33 years ago, June of 82, someone says, why don't you just try a little experiment? Why don't you just be open, honest, and transparent? And if it really doesn't set you free and it really doesn't work, just go back to your pathetic life you were living before. See, folks, I didn't come up with that. Someone used that on me first. And see, that's the thing. If reading the Proverbs a day really doesn't change your life in 30 days, just go back to whatever you're doing. It's not going to hurt you. What'd you miss out on? Your Xbox skills will come back. It'll be happening. You'll be able to work it out. You'll get your internet time back again. Comcast will always welcome you back. Always welcome you. They're waiting for you with a new deal. They're ready. We know you made that poor decision to stop cable and do all these things to spend time with the Lord, but you're back now. And we've got a special 5-year plan for you. We've got your next 5 years planned. You're not going to share Christ with anybody. Yes, you see, in every joke there's a little bit of truth. But folks, I would ask you, let's pray. Let's do as we see here in God's Word. And let's lift it up. And let's be people who can expound and teach the Word of God. Preach the Word of God. I love preaching. I love seeing people come to know Jesus Christ and save me, Lord. And I know that I preach responsibly because I will disciple anyone who comes my way. And do those things. Let's just pray and just seek the Lord. That's why we're going to Sunday nights. This is our last Thursday night in this building. We go to the park. But Sunday nights is going to be worship, praise, and after. Afterglow there at the coffee house at 7 to 8:30 and goes longer. Let's just pray. No, just pray. I'm going to be there. And we'll pray and we'll seek the Lord. And let's just go in that tonight. Let's just pray and seek the Lord tonight and see where God leads us and directs us in our prayers tonight. Heavenly Father, thank You for tonight. I ask You to be Lord and lift it up. Give You this message, Lord.